like to introduce our speaker this morning. In many ways, he doesn't really need an introduction. Sam Ng has been an intern here for many years, and so he's been now in Chinatown. And so we are really glad to see you, Sam, here in New Community. And so we just love to welcome you as you return here to the pulpit. So come and teach the Word of God to us. Let's welcome him as he comes up.
Thank you, Pastor Ken, for that warm welcome and introduction. Hello, New Community. It's been a year and 3 months since the last time I was here. I've missed all of you, and I can see that the Lord has been doing wonderful things here. I know God has brought Saul and Susan here and other people as well, and surely the Lord has been very good to us here. Before we get to our word, get to our message, I invite you to join with me in a word of prayer. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you are our God. We're so thankful for your word that it reveals your character, it reveals who you are. And so, Lord, as we come before you, as we come to your word, Lord, would your spirit really work in us, work in our hearts, work in our minds to be able to receive your word. Lord, as we come to a conclusion of this series of renewed life, Lord, I pray that you will help us to continue to see what does it mean to live out the truth of the gospel, to live out day in, day out, this gospel that you have sent your son Jesus to die for our sins on the cross, that we may live a new life. So Lord, be with us now as we look into your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was 14 years old, I really liked Saturdays. And I still like Saturdays, but I like Saturdays for a different reason. When I was 14 years old, Saturdays had something called Saturday morning cartoons. Right? Saturday morning cartoons. And I would look forward to every Saturday morning to watch new episodes of X-Men, the animated series. I would look forward to watching 1 hour of Pokemon, then I would look forward to watching 1 hour of Yu-Gi-Oh! By that time, once the Saturday morning hour was over, comes the afternoon, and I gave myself two options. One of them was not homework. My parents did not put me there. So I gave myself two options. Option one, I could choose to play several rounds of a game called Street Fighter. Or option two, if I was so fortunate, there will be a martial arts movie marathon starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. And I'll be very entertained by him because I think he has very stylish kicks, and I was always entertained by that. Two options. On one particular Saturday, I was fortunate. There was a movie starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. I was watching the movie, enjoying myself, and then I hear a doorbell ring, ding dong. And then, as I taught by my parents, don't just randomly open the door, right? Look through the peephole of the door, or at least look through the window, see who it is. I look through the window, and I see a lovely-looking family. Looks like a family, a mother and a father and a younger son. Nothing to me dangerous, not like they're going to invade my house. So I open the door, and I say, hi, can I help you? And they said, we want to talk to you about Jesus. We want to share with you about Jesus. And look, I grew up going to BCC, and so in my mind, I was like, great. I've grown up going to church. I've grown up going to BCC. I am comfortable talking about Jesus. Tell me what you want. They start talking to me about Jesus, and I was just listening very carefully. They were saying things that were different. They were saying things that seemed wrong, but I could not say to them that they were wrong. They were saying things that didn't line up with how I was taught in Sunday school. They didn't line up with things that I was taught in Teens with the Reason, which is one of our youth programs in Chinatown. And I didn't know what to do. I was just like, but then they were really convincing, right? They would keep telling me about Jesus, and I keep questioning, is that really right? It seems wrong. But then they would take their translation of the Bible, right? And they'd say, hey, look at this. This is what this says. This is my proof of what I'm saying is actually true. And as they kept doing that, I was like, I don't know what to make of this. I can't straight up say to them it's wrong because I can't prove it. And I feel like maybe I should have paid better attention in Sunday school, or maybe I should have paid better attention in Teens with the Reason. Maybe I'd be able to say to them and point out to them that they're actually incorrect. But for that point right there, I couldn't say definitively. I couldn't say outright to them, straight up, that they were wrong. And then they decided, we want to share more with you. We want to spend more time with you. Can we come in your house? Can we come in your house to spend more time with you? Now, that's where I stopped. I was like, you know what? In my mind, I was like, I don't know you, right? You're strangers. I don't feel comfortable you coming to my house. And they'll say, okay, that's fine. But also inside, I had an inner struggle. The inner struggle is, my Sunday school taught such and such about Jesus, about his person, about his work. Then I hear this family saying such and such about Jesus and his work. And they weren't lining up. So I had this inner struggle and saying, what is actually true then? What is actually true? Is it my Sunday school teacher? Were they the ones true? Or this family right here that's before me right now, pointing out from their traces about Jesus, is that true? And because I didn't let them in the house, they decided to, okay, we'll just give you two pamphlets, okay, to let you read about, you know, more about Jesus. And then they went on their way, and I took those two pamphlets, and I don't know what to make of that experience. I came away thinking that I struggled, and I didn't know what to make of the experience, and I didn't know what to say about it. And the reason I share this with you is because in the passage that we're looking at, Romans chapter 16, verse 17 to 27, the Apostle Paul, he's coming to the closing of his letter, the letter to the Romans. And he's writing this letter to the Christians in Romans. He's coming to a close. He's giving instructions, closing instructions. In fact, he's giving a closing warning. He's warning them, before he sends this letter off, he's warning them about people who will be a spiritual harm to them. And by extension, a spiritual harm to us. So as we look at this passage, three questions I believe that this passage answers for us, which makes up our 3 points for this message. First question. Who are the kinds of people, according to this passage, who are the kinds of people that we are to be cautious of in this world? Who are the kinds of people that we should be aware of, that we should watch out for, that we should be on alert, that we should look out for them? Who are the kinds of people that we should be cautious of in this world? Secondly, why? Why are we to be cautious of such people? Why are we to be on alert, be watching out for them, be looking out for them? So first, who are the kinds of people that Paul is talking about that we are to be cautious of in this world? Secondly, why? Why are we to be cautious of them? Why are we to be on alert? And then lastly, third, how are we to be because of such people? What are we to become because of such people that are in existence in our world? Again, who are the kinds of people that we are to be cautious of in this world? Two, why are we to be cautious of such people in this world? And then three, how are we to be because of such people? So let's look at the first one. What are the kinds of people that Paul is talking about? The kinds of people that we are to be cautious of in this world, and it's this. We are to be cautious of the kinds of people who cause division in the church. We are to be cautious to the kinds of people that cause discord to happen in the church, cause disunity, cause disharmony to happen in the church, in the Christian community. We are to be cautious because these are people who can cause us to spiritually stumble, to trip up in our walk, in our spiritual journey with Jesus. And we see this in verse 17. I invite you to look with me there. Chapter 16, verse 17. Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. Paul here, he's writing to the Roman Christian. He's telling them, before I send this letter out, before I end this letter, I need to let you know something. I've been traveling around city after city in the Greco-Roman world. I have encountered some people that you should be aware of. These people, they have a certain goal. They have a certain mind. They have a certain agenda. Their agenda is to go to churches and to cause division. Their agenda is to go to churches and cause division, cause disagreements to happen, cause the church to be in disharmony, to be disunited. And he goes on and says, these people are there to cause you to stumble. These people are cause you to stumble in your walk with Jesus, to cause you to doubt, to cause you to question your walk with Jesus. And how do they do that? They teach in such a way that's in contrary to the true teaching of Jesus. They teach in such a way that's not the gospel. They don't teach truly about the person and work of Christ. And by doing that, they can lead you astray. They can cause you to stumble in your walk. They cause you to be divided, to disagree, to leave the church, to separate from the church. And then he adds a command at the end. Avoid them. Steer away from them. Stay away from them. on that Saturday afternoon, that family that came to my house, I encountered these kinds of people. I encountered these kinds of people because this is what they were teaching me. They were teaching me that Jesus was created by God as the Archangel Michael before the existence of the world. They were teaching me that when Jesus was born not merely as a human spirit, Jesus was born as merely as a human spirit and not fully God in human flesh. That's what they were teaching me. And also they were telling me, you know, sometimes you should come to join one of our meetings. You know, we come to join one of our meetings, you see what it's like, see what we're all about. But if I were to do that, that would send me on the track to be separated from my church family. That would send me on the track to be divided, to be separated. And as I was wrestling with what they were teaching me on that day, and going through, you know, what my Sunday school teachers and my youth counselors at BCC and Chattanooga were teaching me, I started to doubt. I started to really question everything my Sunday school teachers have taught me, everything that Pastor Enoch, our Chinatown pastor, who was my youth pastor at the time, he taught me, he delivered messages and teams with the reason our youth fellowship. I started to doubt all of that. I started to question all of that. In other words, I stumbled. I stumbled in my knowledge in who I thought Jesus is and what he's all about. I stumbled in what I knew and what I believed about Jesus. Friends, there are people out there that have an agenda to break us apart. And Paul, he wants to tell the Roman Christians to be aware of that, and by extension to us, to be aware of that. They're out there. They want us to be disunited. They want us to be not in harmony. They want us to stumble in our walk so that we become part of their organization instead of following Christ faithfully. But Paul says to avoid them. Paul says to avoid them, to turn away from them, to steer away from them. But how do you do that? How do you stay away from the influence? You watch out for them. Right? That's what Paul says, verse 17. Watch out for these people. Look out for these people. Be on alert. They can bring spiritual harm to you. They can bring you to spiritual ruin. So I ask you, are you aware of such people? Are you aware of such things that are happening in this world that can bring you to spiritual ruin, bring spiritual harm to you, can lead you astray? Paul, he goes on to say, it's not just the reason that they can bring spiritual harm. He gives out two reasons to why we are to be cautious of such people, why we are to be alert, on alert, why we're supposed to watch out. And it's this. Why are we to be cautious of such people? They don't serve Jesus. They serve themselves. They don't serve Jesus. They serve themselves. They are not for Jesus. They are for themselves. Furthermore, they are about deceiving us. They have an agenda to deceive us, to trick us into going into their organization, to believe in things they believe in, which is totally false. And we see this in verse 18. I invite you to meet me there. Verse 18, it says, Paul says, "For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive." Paul, he's going to say, these people who are creating divisions to happen, who are causing you to stumble, who are teaching false things about Christ, they are not for Christ. They are not serving Christ. They are not people that are trying to glorify Christ. No, they are about pleasing themselves. They are about serving themselves. That's why Paul says they care about their own appetites. The word there in the Greek usually means belly. They care about their own satisfaction, not your satisfaction. They care about themselves. And they can talk well. They're eloquent speakers. They know how to take something that's false and cover it and flourish it in such a way that it looks good. It sounds good. It seems acceptable. But it's deceiving. It's deception. Clear deception. Going back to that Saturday afternoon, that family that came to my house, the way they talked about Jesus, I could tell they're not glorifying Jesus. They weren't glorifying Jesus. And as I kept talking, as I kept interacting with them, I just got the impression that It wasn't so much that they wanted me to believe what they believed in. It was a little bit more than that. Because they kept mentioning their organization. Their organization said, believe this about Christ. And they tried to get me to say, they kept repeating, our organization, this is what we believe in. And this is what our translation of the Bible says. This is what we believe in. This is what our organization believes in. They weren't serving Jesus. They weren't glorifying Jesus. They were upholding their organization. They were serving their organization. But their speech was so convincing. Right? The things that they worded, even though they seemed to be wrong, they seemed to be false, but they were wrapped up in things that would seem so acceptable. And I know in my heart, at that time, at that moment, I was deceived. Because two things happened. When they gave me those two pamphlets before they left, I took them. I accepted them. Secondly, I did not feel right about throwing them out. Right? I did not feel right about tossing them in the trash. In fact, I kept them in my room for 2 years. Because I didn't feel right about throwing them out. And it's not like, I know some of us, I don't know if you like this, but you know our church bulletins? There was a point in time where I felt it was wrong to throw away our church bulletins. You know why? Because this Bible passages are printed in there, right? And so I kind of felt like, if I recycle this, right, am I throwing away the Word of God, right? Well, I collected enough to say, that just causes you to be a BCC church bulletin hoarder. That doesn't, all that causes you to is be a hoarder of church bulletins. It doesn't solve the issue. Because you still have the Bible here, right? But this is different. Those two pamphlets were different. Those two pamphlets, when I read them, I was like, it's still really convincing. Still causing the struggle inside. Is this true, or is it what I've been taught at Sunday school true? What I taught the teens with the reason, is that was true? I was put in a place because of that situation where I had to consider their view about Jesus. Seriously consider their view about Jesus. I ask you, have you encountered such people? Have you encountered such people in your life? People who talk and share about Jesus, but you listen closely. You listen closely. They are not actually serving Jesus. They are not actually glorifying Jesus. They are serving themselves. They're serving their organization. They're upholding their organization. They're hoping that you would join their organization so that they can feel good about themselves. They can pat themselves on the back and say, yes, I was able to get someone to join our organization. Or get the organization to pat them on the back and say, good job. You have caused someone to join us, to join our society, to join our organization. It's not about Christ. It's about themselves. These people that are in the world that Paul is addressing, in the world that he was in, they were focused on themselves, getting you to be part of others, getting you to serve them instead of serving Christ and being faithful to Christ Jesus. So what do we have so far, to sum up? Who are these kinds of people that Paul is talking about that we should be aware of, because they are still here today? People who cause division, who divide us, who disunite us, cause disharmony to happen in the church. They cause us to stumble, not walk faithfully with Jesus. Why? Because they don't serve him. They have no faithfulness to him. They're not actually serving him. They're serving themselves. They're out to deceive. So how do we handle this? Right? How are we to handle this? How are we to be because of the existence of such people in this world? Well, two things. One, we have to be discerning. We have to be discerning as to what is true and what is false. Secondly, this passage will tell us we have to be a people that trust in the promises of God. We have to be a people that trust in the promises of God. And we see this in verses 19 to 20. I invite you to meet me there. Verses 19 to 20, Paul continues and he says, "For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Paul, he goes on to say, he recognizes that the Roman Christians, they're very known for, they have a reputation of obedience. They have a reputation of being obedient to the gospel, to the gospel that was preached to them, that they have believed in. But with obedience, there's come two sides. You can be blind obedience, Right? You can be obedient. That just shows that you're innocent, because in verse 18 it says, the hearts of the naive, which could be translated as the hearts of those who are innocent, the hearts of those who are unsuspectable. Or you can be obedient in terms of you are discerning. You can truly know what is true, truly know what is false, and you're obedient to what is true. And Paul, he's trying to say here is that, yes, Romans, I see that I rejoice with you that you're obedient to the gospel. But I want you to be a step further. I want you to be discerning in your obedience. I want you to be wise. Wise as to what is good. Innocent. Pure and innocent as to what is evil. And he goes on to say, if you do that, if you continue to hold on, as you hold on to that, the God of peace will crush Satan on your feet. You look at that and say, why is Paul suddenly mentioning about Satan? Right? He hasn't mentioned anything about Satan in the chapters before. But why is he suddenly mentioning Satan here? Contextually, it seems to me that he's mentioning Satan here because those who are causing division, those who are causing you to stumble and you walk, stumble in your journey with Jesus, those who are deceiving you, on the back of all that is Satan. On the back of all that is our adversary who wants to deceive us, right? Verse 18, deceive, right? With fire they deceive the hearts of the naive. On the back of these false teachers, these people that Paul is addressing, is Satan, our adversary. But notice what Paul says, that the God of peace, who's focused on his community to be peaceful, to be united, to be in harmony, not to be in discord, not to be in disagreement, not to break up, but to be in peace, he will what? Soon crush Satan, not under his feet, under your feet. God is giving a promise here. The promise is this. He, as the God of peace, will crush Satan, your adversary, under your feet. So you have victory over him. You trample him under your feet. You are victorious over him. And this is not something that we deserve. It's grace. Because the verse 20 says, it's by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. It is an act of grace. That the God of peace will crush Satan under our feet. That we can be victorious over Satan. When I was in high school, every Friday after school, I would take public transportation and go straight to BCC Chinatown, the 249 Harrison Ave building, right after school on a Friday. And I would be there, and Pastor Enoch, he'll be there in the building. His office used to be in 249 Harrison Ave on the third floor attic, where our 249 Harrison Ave Youth Lounge still is. It's still there, but it's not utilized. But his office used to be there. I would ring the doorbell, and he would come down. Right? He would give me, hey, Sam, how you doing? You know, he would welcome me in. And I would hang out at the Youth Lounge on the third floor attic. And sometimes, if Pastor Enoch has time, he would play with me in a game of Street Fighter. Because in the Youth Lounge, there was a Super Nintendo there. And we would play a couple of games, and I'll admit, just like I admitted earlier in Chinatown, he did beat me a few times. This is something he's actually quite good at as well. And so, but there was one Friday afternoon where I noticed that he came down when I rang the doorbell, he welcomed me in, and it seemed like his mind was elsewhere. He was really focused on his work. He seemed like he was really swamped with his work. And so I didn't want to bother him. Right? I didn't want to get in his way. But at the same time, I didn't feel like playing Street Fighter. Which is, if you know who I am, that comes as a shock because I'm usually always in the mood to play Street Fighter. But this Friday, I wasn't in the mood. And so, not to bother Pastor Enoch, I decided to look at his bookshelf. Right? I look at all the books in his bookshelf, and there was many of them that, you know, that nice covers, but there was also some of them that kind of looked out, you know, outer-wise and looked kind of boring. But I picked the one that looked the most boring. Right? One that was hardcover, just plain dark blue hard color. And then on the back of it, the binding here, it said Systematic Theology, Grudem. I picked that up, I looked through the table of contents, and to my surprise, this was the book that I would have really wanted to have when I was 14. When those people came to my house teaching me about Jesus, where just didn't seem right. And that book, the table of contents, there was a section in there that talked about the person and the work of Christ. So I borrowed it from Pastor Enoch. right? Because at the time I couldn't afford the book, so I borrowed it until I could save up enough money to buy the book, and I took notes. By the time I read through the chapter and other chapters as well, I was discerning at that point. I could determine what is true and what is false. I could go back, right, and look back to the time when those people came to my house and when they tell me that Jesus was created by God as the Archangel Michael before the existing world, I could say that was absolutely false. Because that book, that helped me to point out passages from the Bible, clearly from the Bible, that really highlight the deity of Christ. That he has always existed. That he is fully God. The teaching when they were, those people, when they were at my house telling me that when Jesus was born, he was just merely a human being. He was not God in the flesh. Absolutely false. Because that book, pointing out again, passages from the Bible that tells me that in Christ Jesus, the fullness of deity dwelled bodily. Meaning that the fullness of the attributes of God fully dwelled in Christ. He's fully God and fully man. But I had to make that conscious effort, right, to be able to see what is true and what is false. And when I determined that, when I was able to get to that point, those two pamphlets I had that I held for 2 years, that I was wondering, that caused me doubt, that caused me to question what I believed, what my Sunday school teacher taught me, I tossed them out immediately. I tossed them out immediately because I could determine at that point that what was said in those pamphlets were absolutely false. It was not true about Christ. I ask you, where are you in your discernment? Some of you have been Christians for a long time. You say you believe in the gospel. But if you're honest with yourself, your understanding of the gospel, it's vague. It's foggy. Maybe even superficial. Some of you are not Christian, and you come here because you're seeking. You're seeking to know the real Jesus, the real person and work of Jesus. You're seeking to really understand the gospel. Well, you are in the right place. You're in the right place. And it's all here in the Bible. The true gospel is right here. The true understanding of the person and work of Christ is right here. Yes, there are godly Christian men and women who have written many works that can guide us, to help us to understand from the scriptures the true understanding of the gospel, the true understanding of the person and work of Christ. But it's all real. It's all here in the Word. Some of you need to take the time to really better understand of this gospel, a better understanding of the person and work of Christ. Why? So that you won't be deceived. So that you won't be led astray by people who are out there with that goal to divide you, to make you stumble, to lead you astray. To sum up, so what we have, who are the kinds of people that Paul is talking about? The kinds of people that we should be cautious about, that divide, those are the people that divide us, those are the people that cause us to stumble in our walk. Why? Because they don't serve Christ. Why do we need to be cautious? They don't serve Christ. They are about serving themselves. They are about deceiving us. And then how? How are we to become? How are we to be because of such people? We need to be discerning. We need to be wise. We need to educate ourselves. Maybe you go to Sunday school. Maybe you go to small group. Your small groups are starting soon. Maybe you need to really pay attention to what is truly teaching about Christ. What is truly teaching about the gospel. Because if you don't listen up, if you don't make the conscious effort to really understand, you put yourself at risk. You put yourself in a position to be naive and to be deceived by these people. As we close, I want you to take a look at this final part of this passage, verses 25 to 27. And Paul says, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen." I believe the main idea of this passage is this: to look out and avoid. Look out and avoid what is false and evil. But hold on. Hold on to what is true. Hold on to what is true and good. And we are not left alone in this, because in verse 25, it says, God, He has the ability, He has the power to strengthen us. He has the power to strengthen us. But it's what? It's based upon the gospel, the true gospel. And this gospel is the message, it's the proclamation about Jesus Christ. We can look out. We can avoid what is false and evil. We can hold on to what is true. Why? Because we are not left alone. God is able to strengthen us. He is able to empower us so that we hold on to what is true. I pray for you, my hope and prayer for you, that you hold on. God strengthens you with His gospel, with the preaching about Jesus Christ, so that you can go forth in the world to know what is true about Christ, to know what is the true gospel. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your gospel, that you have sent your Son Jesus Christ into this world, fully God, fully man, to die on the cross, so that those who believe in your Son have forgiveness of sin, have life everlasting. Lord, we know that is by your grace that we have life. Lord, as we go forth from here, Lord, help us to be ever more aware that we live in a broken world. A world that Satan is out there to want to trick us, want to deceive us, want to cause us to fall away. But Lord, I pray that you'll help us. Help us to look for ways. Help us to search for ways to strengthen our faith in you. Strengthen our understanding of the gospel. Strengthen our understanding of the person and work of Christ, so that we would not be deceived, so that we would not be led astray. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.